You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there, boys and girls. Welcome to another edition of The Business of Sports with Andrew Brand. What a special edition this is. We are 24 hours into NFL free agency, at least the legal tampering part. We haven't even reached the real free agency, but free agency is going to be over before it starts. I'm going to get into all that. I'm going to break down things that you see on the news and the internet, and I'll tell you what it really means, especially the money, because it's such a different reality than what is out there, and I'll explain that whole game that agents and media play. I'll get into all that. We're produced by Jack Connell. We're a producer on the musical side is my son, Sam Brandt, and we're presented, as always, by DraftKings. What a busy week in the NFL, and obviously I'm going to pivot after this to college basketball. I'm heading up to the Big East Conference tournament this week, where I'll be hosting events, with Jay Wright, with Big East Commissioner Val Ackerman, and maybe even those Villanova guys play for the Knicks will stop by our event and see what's going on. So, but I want to get into all the NFL issues right here. This is the busiest time in the business of the NFL. It's pretty much, this is the week where more happens this week than happens, I don't know, in the other 10 months, 12 months combined. Because what it is, it's the start of the new league year. And what does that mean? That means the architecting is really happening right away because teams don't want to wait around. They've got their program coming up. They've got draft and they've got their offseason workouts. They want to get it done right away. So within the first 2 hours of yesterday, when legal tampering opened up, you pretty much had the big wave of free agents sign. And we're, as I said, a day in and most of the bigger name free agents are gone. I think we're going to get to a point rather soon where we're just going to be dealing with one-year deals. People are getting in before the money's out. And that is with a new cap that everyone talked about, oh, there's going to be so much money. Well, that hasn't really worked out. I'll talk about some positions that have had some spikes, but not what anyone would expect. And of course, the deletions are out there to begin with. Okay, where to start? Before we get to the new signings in free agency, let's talk about some of the deals that were done before free agency. The best time to negotiate a new deal, if you're an existing player on a team, is at the cusp of free agency. That's when you have your absolute most leverage. That's why when I worked for the Packers, it was very clear to me, because we were not in a geographically desirable market, as everyone knows, that we had to sign guys early before they sniffed free agency, before they got any kind of whiff that they could go to a bigger market or whatever it may take to get them out of there. I went to guys early in their contracts team, 2 years before free agency, 1 year before free agency, and veteran contracts, sometimes with quarterbacks, 3 years before free agency, to make sure it never got to the leverage point that they have. We've seen that happen just now. Some of them are off franchise tags. Jalen Johnson with the Chicago Bears off a tag gets a good deal. Now, the money's not much more than two franchise tags over the two-year period, but it's only a four-year deal, so Johnson can hit free agency in 4 years at age 28 or whatever it is. That's a win for Jalen Johnson. Good deal for him with the Bears. Chris Jones, right before free agency, gets it done with the Chiefs, and the Chiefs, who are known, as you've heard me talk about many times, not giving out the greatest player deals to Kelce and Mahomes. This one, well, Jones had him over a barrel, and he gets a real $95 million over three, which is right up there with Aaron Donald and Nick Bosa as the best D-line deals out there. And coming in right below that, we've seen other of these deals that the D-line, I mean, listen, that's a high-impact position. They're getting paid at the high end. Brian Burns and the trade from the Carolina to the Giants gets a huge deal. Madubuike coming off a franchise tag with the Ravens gets a huge deal. Christian Wilkins not being able to be afforded by Miami gets a huge deal with the Raiders. Excuse me. This is what's happening. So that's before free agency. We're on the cusp of free agency. Now let's talk about a couple of deals that did happen again before free agency. Russell Wilson. I've talked about the detritus left behind by that contract. $39 million in cash and $85 million in cap. People need to understand the difference. Cap is not cash. Cap is just accounting. They're going to account for Russell Wilson $85 million over 2 years. Normally, when I manage a cap, I'm like, take your medicine now. Take the big hit so it's not left over next year. But with $85 million, I can't advise that. If I'm talking to the Broncos, there's no way in my mind would I would say take the $85 now. That's a third of the cap on one player who's no longer there. They're going to have other dead money charges. That's bad. I mean, this is sort of zooms past the $40 million we saw carrying for Aaron Rodgers, the Packers, or the Falcons carrying for Matt Ryan. This is twice that plus. So Russell Wilson. So he goes to Pittsburgh on a minimum deal. And I know the narrative out there. Yeah, he only took a minimum because Broncos owe the rest and stick it to the Broncos. Well, if that was true, the play would be at a second year and the money you're turning down the first year from the new team, make them commit to that. Say the market is $10 million for Russell Wilson. So he signs a million, then you get a $9 million guarantee for 2025. No one's doing that. So I think, and I've been very consistent on this, Russell Wilson signed for the minimum, not because he's screwing it to the Broncos, sticking it to the Broncos, because that's his market. Yes, that's his market. That's all Russell Wilson is worth. If he was worth more, then Mark Rodgers and Russell Wilson should have leveraged that to get a better deal in 2025. No one would do that. No one would do that. So they're stuck with a minimum deal. I don't know. Will he beat out Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh? Who knows? You know, I have a feeling that's one that goes back and forth all year, you know, rotating quarterbacks. There'll be injuries, etc. I'm nothing against Russell Wilson. He's a fine guy. He's kind of boring. I don't think it's a fit, you know, culturally. Russell Wilson's a lot of glitz and glamour. Pittsburgh is anything but that. So I've saw him better fit, you know, in other places. But hey, that's who wanted him. That's where he's going. Okay. Biggest stories coming out of free agency, two things. Kirk Cousins and running backs. Let's start with Cousins. You know my thing on Cousins. My inaugural Business of Football Hall of Fame came out on July 21st, 2021. Of course, Sam Bradford, Chase Daniel, Kirk Cousins, right there. This was three years ago, right there. And he has only consistently upheld that status and added to it, where he may be right up there with Bradford in terms of who's the bust for the business of, not the bust, the bust like the Hall of Fame bust for the Business of Football Hall of Fame. He's right there. And everybody's, you know, jumping on that bandwagon the past couple of days. People saying he's a Business of Sports Hall of Famer without giving me any credit. I'll live. I'm fine. But I guess I'm not that big enough name where everyone sees what I've done. But that's fine. Hey, I'm happy to be copied. Attribution would be nice, but I'm happy. Okay, Cousins. Before I get to this deal, the amazing thing about Cousins is had the Washington football team, Redskins, Commanders, whatever they were called then, not given him two franchise tags, he wouldn't have made this kind of money. Had they given him a serious offer back in those years, either of those years, had they given him a serious offer, we wouldn't be here because he would have taken it. He would have had to take it. Whatever that number is back then, he would have had to take that number rather than go to the franchise tag game. But he went in the franchise tag game. And after two tags, they didn't want to tag him anymore. Obviously, then it would be prohibitive. And he goes on and he gets this fully guaranteed deal because a free agent like Kirk Cousins is going to get that. 3 years fully guaranteed with Minnesota. And then he's leveraged that deal twice for top of the market deals with Minnesota until that one just expired and he goes to Atlanta. Listen, Cousins was an afterthought by the Washington team in the draft when on the same year, on the same year they drafted Robert Griffin, who they mortgaged the future to draft. So what a turn of events for Kirk Cousins. And you know what? I think that Netflix quarterback series really helped Cousins. It showed him as completely stable. Sure, the dad jokes, and sure, he's boring and whatever he is, but that's what teams want. They want a leader with highest character, work ethic, and boring. Yes. And just sort of the dad like he is. And I think that played well. He goes to the Falcons. It's a real deal of $90 million. You know, I'm going to talk a lot about what's the real deal, what's not the real deal. $90 million. Real. Real. Whatever it is, 180 over 4, 100 guaranteed. But the real deal is 90 over 2. And compare that to Daniel Jones, which is the deal we all gawked at last year. And that was 82 over 2. I mean, this is strong money, 90 over 2. I mean, geez, he's adding another 90 guaranteed. There's no way he's not going to get that. And Kirk Cousins becomes whatever his earnings are. I think he's at 200 something. It's going to be at 300 something for, you know, good talent, not great talent, but he'll zoom past guys you would think are higher rated players. He will. That is what Cousins will do. Okay. 90 over 2 is putting him third on all-time two-year cash. Lamar broke the record, obviously 112 over 2, so strong. Deshaun Watson, 92 over 2, 46 a year for those 2 years. Cousins is right there. He continually hits the windfall, crushes it at the business table, a consistent and elevated member of my Business of Football Hall of Fame. Okay. Let's talk running backs. They hit the gate. They were right out of the gate of free agency, all these running back signings. The reason was there was no can't shake this cough. The reason was there was no franchise tag. Like last year with Pollard, with Barkley, and with Jacobs. This year, no franchise tag. So they all went right out of the gate. First Pollard, $8 million. Leaving Dallas to go to Tennessee, where he replaced Derrick Henry, who they didn't want anymore. DeAndre Swift leaves the Eagles, goes to the Bears, that same $8 million number. Then we have the two outliers, Barkley. It was not such a well-kept secret around the league that he was going to Philly. It was kind of known everywhere, but I'm not the kind of guy that puts it out there. I'll explain more in a minute. It's reported a 36 over 3 or something like that, or 37 over 3. It's reported 26 million over 2 guaranteed. We'll see if that's real. That would suggest 13 a year, which is really strong for Barkley. We'll see. You know, the Eagles are always active. They spent big money on LeSean McCoy at running back. They're not afraid to do any of these things, and they always seem to be active in spending. They go after Bryce Huff right out of the gate, huge money for a linebacker or an edge rusher. So Barkley gets this 26 over 2, and then we see Josh Jacobs go to the Packers. This one, you know, hurt me personally. Love Aaron Rodgers. Love Aaron Jones, as everyone does. One of the most beloved Packers ever. And he's replaced. Now he's replaced by Josh Jacobs, who's making $14 million over one, but nothing guaranteed after that. Okay, so let's get this straight. When you hear $48 million over four, that's because the agent's putting it out there. I'll explain more in a minute. But the Packers, as I know, because I started it many years ago, don't guarantee past year one. That's their policy. They're able to uphold that. So they're giving him $12 million bonus, a salary, some workout money, and then per-game rosters. That could get him up to 14.8, but then it's three option years for the Packers. I don't even know what the numbers are. Not important, really, because they're non-guaranteed, so it's not real. So Jacobs basically is on a one-year, $14 million deal with the Packers. Now they moved to Jacobs, age 26, away from Jones, age 29. That's the Packer way, go younger, but not going cheaper. There's mystery about what happened with Jones. Supposedly they came to him with a pay cut. It's been reported they wanted to bring him from 11 to 4 with incentives. He was willing to go to 6, I guess, or maybe 7. And now he's signing with the Vikings for 6 plus 1 million of incentives. Listen, if they really offered 4 plus 2 million of incentives, people could say, well, it's only a million difference. Well, 2 million incentives versus 1 million incentives is a lot because you want the real money. I mean, I've been on the team side. Of course you want to give out incentives. Everybody wants to give incentives. It's not real money. You got to earn it. And you got to avoid injury, and you got to be there. So Jones moves across the division to the Vikings. That always happens. The Vikings have a special place in their heart for former Packers. I know it from my time seeing Ryan Longwell go there, seeing Darren Sharper go there, Aaron Campman, all these guys in my era, and of course the guy named Brett Favre. It's a common thing where you go from Green Bay to Minnesota, you get a little more money if you come from Green Bay. If you're in Minnesota, it's just what I've seen throughout the years. You know, over when this day started, you had Aaron Jones on the market, you had Derrick Henry on the market, you had Joe Mixon on the market. Now they're signed. As we go through the day, you got Derrick Henry going to the Baltimore Ravens for $9 million. You know, again, this guy was making 15 at one point. It's just the continued deterioration of the market for running backs. Now, Jacobs seems an outlier for 1 year. Barkley may be an outlier for 2 years. But, you know, we're still at this place with running backs, despite the cap increase. It's devalued in a big way. And I've said this before, I'll say it many times again. Running backs are severely disadvantaged coming into the league because they're saddled with this three-year eligibility rule. They have to be 3 years out of high school to get in the pros. That's great for a quarterback. Our offensive lineman needs time to learn. It's not great for running back. Those are your high-impact earning years. Then they sign these rookie contracts, and by the time they're done, most teams want to move on. Maybe they get one big deal out of their career, like Barkley is now, finally, like Jacobs is now, finally. Jones got a big deal. Henry got a big deal, but that's it. That's it. Whereas other positions, you're getting 2, 3, 4, maybe even 5 big deals if you last long enough. So I feel for running backs. I really do. They're the most disadvantaged position in the league. They have the shortest shelf life. They take the most contact. And they're replaceable, eminently replaceable, eminently replaceable. We haven't heard a peep about A.J. Dillon, the other Packers running back. I guess he's on the market. But this is where we are. Cincinnati goes younger and cheaper, replaces Mixon with Zach Moss. Tennessee, younger and cheaper. Tony Pollard. $8 million cheaper than what they're paying Derrick Henry. So we'll see where it goes. I'm not thrilled like a lot of people are about the Eagles signing a Barkley. You know, I just think the difference at that position between $13 million a year and $5 million a year is not that great. We'll see. We'll see if Barkley is special again. He's had a lot of injury issues, and he'll be behind a much better line, but we'll see. We'll see. I'm not a huge fan of that deal. I'm probably a bigger fan of Jacobs at the Packers, despite losing beloved Aaron Jones, because it's basically 1 year and we'll see. And all these deals are 1 year and we'll see. Some are 2 years and we'll see. Let me explain to you what happens. Agents do the group text to the media, you know, explaining the deal they just signed in the best possible light, right? But it's not the real deal. And why do agents let them do that? Because agents aren't going to be too interested in getting the breakdown. They just want to get the news out there. So I was on the other side of this with the Packers. I would have agents come to me all the time at the end of the deal and say, hey, can I tell Schefter or Rappaport or Jay Glazer, can I tell them the deal is really this or the deal is this numbers? And I'm like, of course, sure, whatever floats your boat, whatever's going to help me close the deal, if that's important to you to fluff it out there, great. That's the game. And again, only nerds like us are really going to look at these deals and say they're not what they appear to be. The objects are much larger than they appear to be, but the damage is done. I mean, this happens all the time. From Shohei Ohtani's $700 million deal, which is still out there, it's the biggest deal in team sports history, which is really a $450 million deal. Nothing's wrong with that, but it's not 700. Pat Mahomes' $500 million deal is still out there. It's not a real deal. It's not real. And this happens on a smaller level for all these contracts. So it's unfortunate it happens. It's reality. It's the game that agents and media play. You know, I have agents text me and saying, can you say this about my deal? No, I'm not like that. I don't play that. People come to me for credibility and authenticity about contracts. I'm not going to play that game. I don't do it. I like certain agents more than others, but they know I'm not going to puff their deal. I'm going to talk about a deal I think is strong, as I just did about Cousins, agent Mike McCartney. I never have talked to him about the deal, but I think it's strong. So this is what's going on out there when we read about and hear about these deals. It's important to know what's real, what's not real. Even those those two Tampa Bay deals, you know, you had Baker Mayfield reported $100 million over three. There's no way he's making $100 million over three. The guarantee is 40, 30 this year and 10. If he's let go, he'll make the 40 and they'll move on. The 10 the next year will be offset against whatever he makes somewhere else if he's gone. But it's a $40 million deal, not a $100 million deal. And Mike Evans reported as a $52 million deal. It's a $29 million deal. 23 this year, 6 guaranteed next year. So if they cut him after 1 year, they owe him 6. It's on an offset. So probably less, depending on what he gets out there if he's cut. But, you know, sometimes it's important to be reality and not sort of buy into the agent fluff. I get it from the agent side. Because you're going to be recruiting out there, and the kid and his parents, they're not going to listen to Andrew Brandt's podcast. I hope they do. And realize your deal is not what it was being sold, but they're just going to see the numbers. And you're going to bring the numbers with you that you sold to the media. I get it. Okay. Other things in free agency. What's interesting is that Packers are active. You know, this was never their MO, as I know so well. Outbidding the Eagles, the always active Eagles, for the safety, Xavier McKinney. That's very unlike the Packers. And what's interesting is I know this from being a Packer, that in those years where they don't do anything in free agency, all you hear about is they aren't doing anything in free agency. But are we hearing about all these teams now that aren't doing anything in free agency? Have the Dallas Cowboys done a thing? Have the New York Jets done a thing? Pick a team. Pick any team. Have the Saints done a thing? Have the Rams done a thing? Right? I mean, we don't hear about these other teams that don't do anything in free agency. We do hear about the Packers. That's just a pet peeve of mine. So it's something I noted as we go forward. Okay. You can hear the voices dying. Still cat this cold. Anyone going to give me some advice how to shake this cold that won't go away? Yeah, I know. Honey, hot tea, all those things. I'm doing it. Thanks to Jack Connell. Listen, if you have questions that you come out of this podcast, like learn a little bit more, obviously hit me up on Twitter at Andrew Brandt, but you can email me, andrew@andrew-brandt.com. Happy to answer your emails. Sign up for the Sports Business League at the Sunday 7 because I give a lot more information there. Also, Reels on Twitter at Andrew Brandt 2. I'm sorry, Reels at Instagram at Andrew Brandt 2. And of course, my column at Sports Illustrated along with this podcast. Give us a rating if you like it. Share it with a friend and tell your friends about it because I hope to make it truly unique on the business of sports. That'll do it for this week's The Start of Free Agency, New League Year Edition in the NFL. There'll be a lot more next week to comment on. Maybe we'll see these real numbers even more, see what these deals like Barkley are really at. Thanks to Jack Connell. Thanks to Sam Brandt, my musical producer. Thanks to you for listening. I'll be back next week with another edition of The Business of Sports with Andrew Brandt.